Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Prinz. I'm Mike's eldest son. Depending how you've heard about me, I'm either the guy from Seattle or the one that's in the computer. So just, you know, so we're all on the same page on that one. I'm the geek, yeah. But, you know, it's hard to believe that I'm here before you today. Not for the fact that I would, you know, not be eulogizing my father, but up here sooner than I think any of us would have expected. Despite this, I'm grateful for the fact that I was able to spend the last 2 weeks before he passed with him in Eden Prairie. It was through a phone call from his brother Bob that I came and made my visit come a little bit sooner than what I'd originally planned. The concern was that he was losing his voice, and I'm sure with any of you who've been having lunch with him or trying to talk, you know, his voice was getting weaker. And it was important to me that I'd be able to come out to Eden Prairie to be able to talk to him before his voice was gone. So the timing of this call could not come at a better time, and I'm thankful that I was able to make it back for those 2 weeks. The one hard part that I had was, how do I keep it a surprise? Coming from Seattle, you know, you got to fly by plane and get here, and, you know, we always try to surprise him, but he's too sharp for that. He picks up on little things that just, oh, you're here finally. But this time I was like, we're gonna get him this time, you know. And so, you know, we wanted to make sure that we surprised him. So when we finally got home on Saturday a few weeks ago now, you know, I walked around, he's sitting in his chair watching TV, and I walk around, look him in the eye, and say hi. And he looks at me and he says, "Why are you here?" And I'm like, "I'm here to see you. Why else would I be here?" He's like, "I'm okay. You don't need to make a special trip to come out here to see me. It's not like I'm dying yet." And so the thing that always struck me, as I'm sure for any of you that spoke to him, is he was very humble. He was more interested in hearing about you, hearing about what I was doing in Seattle, than whatever was going on in his life. And so this is, you know, one of the virtues that I learned from him that I hold dear. You know, listen to others, appreciate what they're saying to you, participate in what they're telling you, be a participant in that conversation. You know, this has helped me, you know, with my personal life, with my wife, at work, and, you know, it's never ending. And, you know, from talking with him, it just always blew me away how he could just, you know, be that humble. Thinking back to when we first learned about the ALS, I can't really remember when it was that I actually learned about it. What was that phone call that I learned that he had ALS? But thinking back on it, I know that that's when the grieving, I know for myself, and I think for many members of our family, that's when the grieving started. We didn't know much about the disease when he had it. You know, also called Lou Gehrig's disease. So I was like, oh, I knew Lou Gehrig, played baseball. I've, you know, seen videos of his speech when he was at the Yankees. But it was difficult to really understand what we were about to encounter. What was the path that we were now, you know, the train's rolling. We're on this track. Where is it that it's taking us? But the more that I learned about ALS, the more I really could never understand or appreciate how he was at such peace with it and what it meant for him. So reflecting back on the nearly 2 years that he had at ALS, I can't ever remember him complaining about it. He never, you know, was down on himself. He was always in the most positive of spirits, and his mind was as sharp and as clear as ever. So for any of you that have, you know, spoken with him, you can probably relate to that, you know, for the fact that he called me out for coming home. I don't know, he was sharp. It takes someone who's mentally tough to do this, and it's that sharpness and toughness that I really, you know, another facet that I really admired. So when I look back at my life and I think of the things that get me bent out of shape, or, you know, things that in my life kind of, you know, put me in a sour mood, I'm like, how can that be? My father's at home with ALS. How can this put me in a sour mood? He was so positive despite his situation, and here I am complaining about something petty. So every little thing was a gift to him. The gift to be able to speak, to be able to go out to have lunch, to go to his favorite spots and towns, to see, you know, as John mentioned, the faucets from his tapestry. And, you know, for my own life, to be able to have him there for my wedding, to see me, you know, have a career, to get to see me purchase my first home. You know, there are certain little life milestones that each of us go through that I'm grateful and thankful that he was around for. But when we moved into our home, he was still able to walk, not very well, and, you know, we have a lot of stairs in our house, and it was important to him that he was able to come and see it. So we, you know, worked and maneuvered him, you know, through the VIP entrance in the back and up the stairs, you know, because he wanted to make sure that he was there to see our house get blessed. And no matter how much he struggled with every one of those steps to go up the flight of stairs, he always put one foot front and the other. And this was, you know, anything in his life. You know, it was always, what is the goal? What do I have to do to get there? How do I do this? So he focused on those things that were important. You know, he pushed all the other stuff away, and he focused on making it a goal and achieving it with a positive attitude. So being home for those past 2 weeks to watch him, this was one of the, you know, the final lessons that he taught me. You know, be positive no matter the circumstance. But when I reflect on his positivity, I think back to the game of golf. And for those of you that play with him, you know that he wasn't bad, but he wasn't really going to go pro anytime soon. He loved playing at Hazeltine or at any other course that he could get, you know, get around in on. But there's more times than not that I remember when I was in high school that he was magically short of fourth. And to this day, I can never remember if he just picked three and called me the hour before they teed off, or if he was really like, yeah, my friend didn't make it. You know, we'd play a lot on the afternoons or in the weekends when I was in school back home here, and it was a great way for us to spend time together. You know, when you're on the course, it's you, it's the course, and that's it, in your conversation. So we'd talk about a whole wide range of things. You know, when I was about to go into school, you know, what do you want to major in? You know, what is it? You know, how is school going? You know, are you wanting to invest money? What, you know, just the topics completely varied. But he always provided great insight and feedback, and I'm thankful for the lessons that he was able to share when we played. And there were lots of them. We played a lot. But no matter how much we played, he spent more time in the sand and in the water than any guy I ever played with. You'd watch him load up and pop the back of the car open, and he'd just box after box after box of golf balls go into that bag. I'm like, you're gonna break this poor caddy's back, you know? But at the end of the round, you know, it's like all those balls were gone. So, you know, he had done his best to lose them. But, you know, it's not that there's specific memories of playing, it's just the fact of the game. The game will forever, for me, be linked with him, and that's important to me. My memory, if you ask my wife, isn't great for stories. I'm not very good with details. But if you've heard my dad tell stories, you know, if you watch Remembers of the Family Walk Away, it's probably because it's the 50th time they've heard the story. But for those that hang around, they're waiting for the one detail that changes. Something always changed in every one of the stories. It didn't matter who he was telling it to or how often he told the stories were a little modified each time. Intentionally or not, I don't think we'll ever know. But when I was in school, I was moving out of my apartment, and he's like, well, we'll come out and we'll look together. And what I didn't realize is that apartment hunting required a realtor and a, you know, a mortgage. So we ended up purchasing a condo, and what shocked me later on was the fact that we had toured this condo together. We stood in it, we took pictures, and he'd keep calling me. He goes, how's the waterfront view? And I'm like, there's no water here. I look out to a street, buses go by. I mean, you know, there's the flower lady across the street. She's got buckets of water, but it's nothing you'd swim in. Oh, okay. Same question 2 months later. So I think maybe he was just dreaming that he had the waterfront view. But the thing that really stuck with me with that was how he wanted to make sure that I was taken care of during school and the fact that I didn't need to worry while I was there. You know, I would be taken care of, and there was nothing to worry about. But here we are. We're gathered today in a celebration because he's gone. He's moved to a better place, but I'll miss the phone calls. All his advice, his interest in my job, his curiosity into how his house, how our house was doing, how our condo was doing, talking about my wife, her family. But I will miss being able to help him around the house and talking to him like I had the privilege the last 2 weeks. But despite what I miss about him not being here, I'm grateful for everything he's already provided to me and will continue to provide to me for the rest of my life. It's the lessons that he taught me that I can still recall. There's many throughout the years. There's countless. But the ones that taught me have molded me into who I am today. Lessons of honoring your word, humility, being positive, working hard, and to care for others are a few of the key ones that stand out to me. These are lessons that have him walking with me every day of my life.